All right, here we go again. We're back with another weekly Mint Sauce Chronicles. I hope everyone's in good health. This will be released on Saturday, 23rd of March. Already, 23rd of March, wow. Thanks for all the emails and contacts sent in. If you want to get hold of us, it's info@sheepfarm.co.uk. You can email the moustached beauty receptionist we've got here at Sheep Farm, otherwise known as my alky brother, Chris, vest wearing mofo. The format is simple. We try and release a minimum number of 4 shows a month. Shows will be released on Saturdays. People who don't get email notifications or it goes into spam, don't worry about it, because all new shows, if there's one released, it'll be released on a Saturday. There's always a trailer on YouTube, if I'm allowed to put them on, from the YouTube Starzy, who'll keep banning certain things on there. Members get to see the full podcast, which is generally 2 hours plus, or around 2 hours, and they also get the option to download. Non-members just see part one, which is roughly about an hour of the initial one. Maddie, we have been called, what was it? What did I say, mention earlier? Traitors. We'll come to that in a bit. Traitors. For having a membership side of it. But anyway, it's an interesting comment. podcasts are always on sheepfarm.co.uk. And if you go to podcasts, you will see them there, sheepfarm.co.uk. And you see the latest one. Yeah. So with me tonight, as usual, is just opening his bottle of witch piss.
Good evening.
French witch piss is our Chris, sporting his vest.
it's not even usual. A joke, that I have always got a vest on.
I know.
I've got quite a special bottle of wine here. It was sent by a sheep farmer, and it's the one that got sent to Yorkshire, and then I had to ring him and get it sent back down here. But I've lost his email saying I'm an email. Right. So it's a bottle of bread and butter Cabernet Sauvignon. Thank you for that. If you email me, I went to email thank you, and I've lost the bloody email.
Strange, isn't it? You rock up, answer a few emails. Rock up and don't deliver any notes or anything like that. And you get bottles of wine sent to you. Strange, isn't it?
No, it's because people know who the backbone of Sheep Farm is. Just because you wang on, everyone really deep down knows what the real backbone is.
If we left it to you, there'd be fuck all.
So this is probably
it sounded nice, that, though, I've got to say.
No, it's probably a slightly better quality than what I'm used to. But yeah. Right. Thank you for that again. What have you got for tonight, Fat? I've got a few things here myself as well.
Yeah, right? Well, I'll start. On Monday, I went to St. Anne's. I went to see Mark Devlin do a talk on MK Ultra and stuff. A lot of the stuff, there's quite a lot of synergy with the Huxley stuff that we've been discussing, actually. Right. And the people there were really nice, really well-educated. And that's not sort of patronising, a well-educated bunch. It were a packed house as well. I don't know how many seats there. I know they had to bring more seats in to see Mark. Mark is a bit of a rock star now, isn't he?
Fantastic.
And all the people that I were talking to are really sort of, you know, you meet people, and I was saying to you, it were like Fight Club, where it were in this lovely community centre. People just rocked up from everywhere.
Yeah.
From nowhere, you know what I mean? Just
rocked
up, all from different walks of life. And it reminded me of that part in the... was that Mrs. Playing Drums?
Yes.
Yeah, reminded me of that part in The Da Vinci Code where Tom Hanks is down in the crypt with that woman. And when he comes up, there are all them Knights Templar there. Of different, what you know, what, yeah. Of
Do you know, I vaguely sort of remember that. I saw that when it came out in cinema, and I vaguely remember it, if I'm honest. Yeah.
Just like the Guardians, or the Resistance, or whatever you want to call it.
Those demons that turn up on Wycliffe's daughter in Omen 2. 3.
That's
a reverse version, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, a reverse version of it. Yeah, that's Parliament, I think. And then it finished. And everyone sort of went, you know what I mean? Went back to the houses.
I know what you mean. After,
you know, that type of thing.
I know what you mean, yeah. I find it, it's just strange. I mean, we've always been conspiracy nuts, but you used to be able to just chat it to anyone because you just went, oh, he's off again, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it got a little bit more serious the last 3 years.
Well you've got to give the people there a 10 out of 10. They've asked me if I want to do a talk there, actually. They asked me this last year before, through Health Bunker, wanted me to go and talk about ozone,
right?
So I might do that type of talk, because someone who goes there told them about the clinic. So he right. didn't even know we did Sheep Farm until I got there. Oh. And Mark told him.
All right. Which were, have they heard of Sheep Farm then?
I don't know whether he'd heard of Sheep Farm, but he didn't know it were me anyway, or you.
Right.
Yeah. He didn't know. Yeah, anyway. But so I might be doing a talk there anyway at some point in the next two or three months.
Just to go backwards, there were a lot of smart people. We were definitely not any smarter than anyone who listens to this.
I mean by that is
from a different angle.
Well, no, I don't mean smart people as in we're all educated or anything like that. Just like people who listen to this, really. Just, you know, we don't get to meet people who listen to this, do we? We get a few emails and that, and some of the information's fantastic we get sent.
Yeah.
But when you meet people, it's like you met somebody who you know already. Yeah. I'm not saying we're all friends, because we're not, because we don't know each other, but when you sit talk to them, you don't have any ice to break.
You're all thinking
it's not like
about,
an AA meeting.
Thinking about the same things, but probably in different from different angles. Like you think about the health bit. You know, everyone's thinking from different, but we all meet at the same crux, which is we think everything's bollocks.
But we just know we're living this type of lie. How deep it is, we'll probably never find out until probably the next part of us journey or whatever. And some of it is hard facts where you can see the zeros and ones in front of you. And other things, you're sort of making a bit of a leap of faith, thinking, you know, that links to that. You don't really know some of it, you know? You can't definitely say you know everything. That's just impossible. Right. In fact, as soon as somebody says, this is true, I have to start turning off and questioning that
part. Walking backwards a bit, don't you?
Yeah.
But, I mean, even when you get, have dark days, and you think, oh, God, all walls are closing in. Then you have a good day, and you think, I've said this before, actually, it's exciting stuff, though, isn't it? when you actually start looking at, like, what we've been looking at with the Huxleys, it's exciting, interesting stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's interesting. I mean, I've had a bit of stress over the last couple of months, really, February now. But then, all of a sudden, it lifts and you move on with your other stuff. And the Huxley stuff is very, very interesting. Mm.
Do you know what, actually, I don't want to sound like a knobhead here because I know everyone says this, but I've been doing my back garden today and I'm sharing an allotment with someone around here. And I have to say, I've not been out in the garden. I know you're not a big gardener, but it's whatever.
I always say these are brown fingers, not green.
It's whatever floats your boat, though, Fatty, isn't it? There's no point, you know. But I was out in the backyard. I just thought, fuck, I'm going to de-weed garden. And then I ended up doing this allotment this afternoon. So all day I've been digging. And I really enjoyed it. Physically a little bit tired, but I really enjoyed myself. I've not done any since last summer.
Right.
You know, and we've just taken this allotment, me and a friend of mine, and we're doing half each. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Don't want to sound like a knobhead. Oh, get out in the garden, get out in nature. But I did actually today. I kind of enjoyed it.
And so we're quite a few hours into recording now this Huxley Brave New World Order. We've actually finished two episodes now. I think we've done about 5 hours worth of recording, haven't we?
Yeah.
Roughly. Or finished. We've also done an hour and a bit of the third one. There's going to be four episodes in the first series, which is really not directly about the Huxley family, but the sort of links into, especially Aldous Huxley, the links and Julian Huxley. They're the main two characters that have affected our lives directly. And their grandfather, I would say. But then, the family is ingrained in everything. There's links to everywhere. We found some new links today. But anyway, and what the plan is to release the first one sometime in April. We'll let you know the date. And we're going to release it. I've made it like a mini, each of them like mini films with pictures and videos behind the audio. And so, but I'm going to release them as podcasts, so it'll be released on a Saturday, exactly like we do. So the first episode will be released like we do on every Saturday, members and non-members. So members will get the first view of the full podcast. But then what we'll do, either the week after or the week after that, or 2 weeks after, we will release it on YouTube as a premiere, so we can sort of watch it live with comments and stuff like that on it. So that'll be interesting. We'll release the full one for everybody to listen to. So it won't be just for members, this Huxley stuff. But members will get first shout. We think it's fair because they're helping us develop these things. That's That's how we're working. So in a week after or so, we'll release the full episode one on YouTube, because it hopefully will be YouTube friendly. But there's some interesting stuff come out of it, isn't there, Chris? Very interesting. So I'm looking forward to releasing the first one and seeing everybody's opinion of it. Now, bear in mind, there's that much information that links these people, from bloodlines to work and everything else, that you're never going to capture everything in the first one, two, three, or four episodes. And these episodes take a lot of recording, so we'll probably do another one after the summer, another block of four, possibly, after the summer.
Well, it's like, it's called Huxley's, but it's basically, I would say, encompassing modern-day life, basically. Mm. Especially entertainment business. It's covered everything. It covers everything, doesn't it?
It's intriguing research. I've got to say, for me, from a researcher point of view, it's probably the best research of, not as in the finished product, but the most interesting research that I've done.
Because
it covers everything I'm interested in. Politicians do come into it, but it's not just about politicians and politics. This is the real control that we're viewing there. This is
those clowns on TV.
Not those clowns on TV. Yeah. speaking of clowns on TV, Chris, 23rd. We're recording this on Thursday, the 23rd of March, and it's exactly 3 years ago today, the anniversary of the first communist lockdown.
When you were told you couldn't leave your house.
Yes.
Who would have thought that day would have ever come?
I know. Yeah. I know. They only needed massive sirens going, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, I think most people obeyed. Yeah, I think most people obeyed it. They found it quite exciting, I think. I think that's why it got so much, more than scared. I think people found it quite exciting.
But, I mean, look back at, 3 years... What's happened in 3 years? How life has changed. When you look at 2019 now, you think you're looking back at 2009 for argument, or 1999, it seems that far in the rearview mirror that you can't really. It's a chalk and cheese difference, isn't there, of what life were like then and what it's like now, like post-war, pre-war. We've heard people say this. We didn't experience that, but this is our post and pre divoc, isn't it? Will never be the same. Life has changed, and whether we like it, whether we look into or listen to other people's podcasts, and whether we like that or not, life has changed.
Actually, more for nut jobs like us than for most folk, because most folk are happy that it's gone back to normal and it's all over. Don't have to think about it every day. For nut jobs like us, they've shown their hand, haven't they? And now we think, these bastards are capable of anything.
Well, just like we were saying about New Horizons, where all these people came out, one person was telling me there, a lady was telling me there, that pre-Divock, they used to get, 20, 30 people there. There must have been over 100 people there. You know, so that's the difference now. People like us are willing to say, no, fuck you.
Well, I'm sure we've discussed this before, but it's bizarre to think that some people just, two extremes, some people just queued up and couldn't wait to get it. Then you've got loads of people in the middle of that. Then you've got us nut jobs who were willing to get dragged out of his house by his hair, not you, but me.
And we actually thought, my eyebrows.
My bit of hair that's left. As long as you grab back of my head, I'm all right.
When
that's the extreme though, isn't it?
But again, when you look at March and the people running around buying toilet paper and pasta shapes and cans of beans and stuff like that, thinking life. I mean, you're laughing, but it is that funny.
It is
funny.
But it was that bad. You didn't have a clue where it was going. The thing is, people thought that the system was trying to help them. We knew it was trying to screw us. Yes. So we were probably more scared than them in a lot of ways.
Yeah, because we could see what were happening. We knew what were going to happen. Most of us, listening and were part of the marches and things like that, knew from day one that this was a totalitarian
When they were doing those broadcasts, I was working in a pub in Histon, just out of Cambridge. And when they were doing them talks, everyone were waiting to see what they said as to whether they could leave their house or not or do whatever.
I never watched one.
No, never watched one. Yeah, I watched bits of them. But my main thought was, I'm watching the enemy on TV. What is this scumbag going to want to do next? That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I'm thinking, oh, they're going to let us out or not.
You might as well have been watching Gobbles.
What? Exactly. I mean, he probably didn't have the decency to put it on TV.
No.
On the radio, I suppose, but yeah.
I mean, this has to be the biggest, especially in the Western world, the biggest mind control operation ever undertaken without firing a bullet. I mean, we were talking before in 2020, when like probably 3 years ago today, that this is a bulletless coup.
Yeah.
That is what it was. They didn't have to shoot anybody. They didn't have to even threaten anybody. Although it was a threat. They didn't have to threaten anybody.
No. No violence to start with.
No. No. There were no threat. You're doing it for your country. You're doing it for your grandma. You're staying inside. You're doing it for your neighbours. You're doing it for your children.
Like World Wars, though, Fatty. You're doing it for your country.
Yes.
You're doing it to save your... doing it to save your neighbours and your family and your friends and everybody you know.
Do your duty.
Do your duty.
On Thursday, we're going to have... you out outside at 8 o'clock on your doorstep, bring your pan and a wooden spoon and we want you to mang it for about 2 or 3 minutes and clap for the NHS that we're going to destroy. Because they're there to save you, even though hospitals are empty. Can you remember that woman that went round that hospital and got arrested for filming that it were empty and endangering people's lives even though there were no fucker in it?
Yeah. Time.
I mean... that woman got dragged out of her house.
Oh yeah.
She got arrested.
Yeah. Did they go? They went. They followed her to her house and arrested her, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just bizarre. That old lady that got dragged off that chair where she was having a cup of coffee on that bench.
Evil bitch.
Oh, terrible.
Breathing fumes everywhere.
Green smoke out of her mouth. Yeah.
Don't go jogging with your partner because they might spew particles at you.
Yeah.
Don't jog behind anyone. That were it.
I remember listening to that little shite in America saying... Faustian deal. That people are breathing little bits of virus everywhere. Little particles of virus. Dead virus. Blind virus. I mean, it's like, really? And then when you listen back to that Professor Giordano talking... in 2016-17, telling you how it was going to happen.
Make a few people ill. We'll turn the rest into hypochondriacs. Job done.
Job done. And that is what happened. And at the same time, they turned 5G on. Exactly the same time. And, you know, did they make a few people ill? I'm sure they did. I'm sure some people got ill that they told them after the ridiculous test that they ran out was Divock, right? Bear in mind, there's no flu. So, no flu.
Well,
it would divock.
I've said this a million times. I got ill by something weird I'd never had.
Yeah.
Put me in bed for a day, but I didn't take any tests or anything, but it was definitely an odd illness. What I mean is, was that the percentage you're going to make people ill and we can turn everyone into hypochondriac?
Fortunately, we were armed with sodium ascorbate, vitamin C and all the other stuff that probably dampened down whatever symptoms, whatever it was that you got there. I know I had a cold as well, but I mean, I have respiratory issues from cold perspective anyway. So,
well, to be honest, I think even on this podcast, I said the losing your smell could be psychosomatic, which it could be.
Yeah.
But I lost my smell like I've never lost it before. I have to say, I could not smell a thing. And my taste has never come back. My taste has never come back the same either. I don't know if anyone else has experienced that.
What invest?
There's a certain few things cooking. Onions smell different, and so does coffee.
Right.
Strange.
And I know there was weird smells outside. I mean, my view is that these things were sprayed or it were frequency based.
Yeah. I'd say the same.
To capture a certain amount of people.
I agree. 100%.
The hospital certainly wouldn't run off the feet because you didn't hear ambulance. I hear more ambulances now. Every time I drive into Halifax, I'm behind, or there's one zooming on the road. I know there's a hospital there, but there's a hospital in every town.
I don't know if this is connected, all over the place. But I just read in the news, I was just flicking through the news before I did this, Andrew Lloyd Webber's son's got I mean, I don't know if it's anything to do with anything, but I do remember, but he's got some internal cancerous problems.
Right.
It's moved quite rapidly. And it does make you wonder, doesn't it?
It's Lloyd Webber were out telling everybody there were evil mofos, weren't they?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It
for not having jabs.
I always remember you putting a video up saying Dr. Andrew Lloyd Webber tells everyone to get the jibber jab.
Yeah.
And I pushed myself because it's Dr. Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah. But, I mean, you think about what's happening at the minute. You had Wancock in I'm a Knobhead, get me out of here. Mm. Then he got done with the leaks. Yeah, yeah, of course there were leaks. There weren't orchestrated leaks, no.
Yeah.
Now you've got Johnson dragged before the House committee or whatever it is, asked horrible questions. I thought all that had been done. And yet, this is a limited hangout in action.
Ultimate limited hangout in action.
Yeah, ultimate limited
not asking hangout. Not asking any of the questions that you or me would want them to ask.
No.
I couldn't give a fuck if he had a party.
No, I don't care.
I don't care.
I hope he did.
I do. I don't care if
I hope he had 10 parties.
What I do care about is the fact they were just lying through the teeth.
And they're murdering people.
Mm.
Plain and simple. That is what needs answering. Forget
the Spears, right? Just the lockdowns and the stress and the drama on people's lives. Yeah.
What they've destroyed.
Businesses that went under. They don't even talk about those businesses that they sank. That's not even on the news, is it?
Everybody here listening here, I'm sure I can throw everybody here, we will never forget.
No.
We'll never forget.
So we're still talking about it?
Yes, and I'll still talk about it in 5, 10, 15 years, if we're not in a gulag.
It's like that old, do you remember that old Bill, was it Billicks, when everyone was saying to him, why is he still talking about JFK, were ages ago? You got to realise the fucking magnitude of the fact that your own country has killed its own president, if that's whatever. I'm not going into details on that, but
yeah.
You have to like the 9/11. Well, you're still going on about that for like 2000, man, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to realise the magnitude. If that was a conspiracy, which I'm pretty sure it was, and the 7/7 bombings and all these other ones, you have to realise the magnitude. What are you going to do about it? It doesn't matter. It does fucking matter. It matters a lot.
It does matter. It matters more than you can ever...
It matters more than your game NPCs. Of football. Let me put it like that. It's definitely more important than Aston Villa playing fucking Man U.
Yeah. 100%. 100% more.
Someone said that to me at work over there. That's why I'm saying it. They said, I think I told you about that young lad and I kept winding him up and pretending I liked football. And he said, what do you do if you don't watch football? What, I can't... And we were saying it with amazement. What do you do on a weekend if you don't watch... I said, well, I've doing my podcast, I've got a sculpture shed and do other things, all kinds of stuff to do. It's just, I don't understand why that would be the four. I mean, Doug, whatever you want to do, I'm just saying.
Yeah, whatever you want to do, but entertainment is enter the mind. And so if we're allowing things to enter his mind, me and Mark, Devlin were talking the other day, and he said, nothing's the same for us now, is it? He said, you can't listen to music the same. Well, I can't watch films the same. I don't watch films anymore.
Me and you were a point in case, actually. You were Sport Billy years ago, and I was film obsessed. Yeah.
And I were film obsessed and all, but not like you were. You were obsessed with the background of the films and the art side of it as well. Yeah.
But I'm saying that. I watch one in a blue moon. But I don't even watch them anymore. Observe them.
No.
You know, it's a different kind of viewing.
This is like a mission, Chris. It can't. It's like for some reason we've got this program running, and I saw a chap who was sat next to me when Mark were doing his talk, and if you're listening, he's a golf. He was a golf instructor, and when Mark were talking, he was writing notes now. Mm. You know. This is how this makes us feel. He's writing notes down, so he can go and research it himself.
Yeah, looking at things
and it leads him to other stuff. And this is the grassroots of what we are. This is granted, he's not probably taking Mark's words for his words because he wants to research it himself and make sure. But also, he's writing this down so he don't forget it. Mm. That's how important it is for us.
Yeah.
And then he mentioned to me that he said a lot of kids now, you know, Dom are starting to, when I teach kids, they're starting to ask thing, and anyway, it turns out he's a golf teacher, and I thought, well, these kids they're either asking you because you've mentioned something to them.
He's in a position to drop their legs.
A nuance, or you're giving off the energy that they can actually speak their mind, and either way is good, And that's what we are. We are that. We are them people that are dropping these nuances. Yeah. And it's that part's exciting because for the first time in my life, I've got real meaning.
Yeah,
I know it sounds pathetic that, but that's true. You know, I've had to get into my 50s to get real meaning in my life.
Not your three kids, yeah.
They were there.
Not your wife and three kids.
All right, outside my family.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
But this feels, whatever it is that's inside us, this is the essence that Master Lee talks about that's inside us. This is the, we're actually found the core of the essence. When you peel back those layers, this is what keeps us going.
Like I said earlier, we're not any smarter than anyone else listening to this. It's just that we've found our little weird platform in this, this wherever it is, and we're delivering it through this. So we feel like we're helping, and we do get a lot of emails saying we've helped people, which is lovely. It's absolutely amazing. When I've read a few lately saying we helped them through the 3 years of nonsense. I mean, that's fucking. I don't even know what to say to that.
No. Well, I mean, I said to somebody that I'm still surprised people wouldn't listen to me and you.
Yeah. I mean, not me, but you.
Yeah. I'm still surprised that people actually tune in. But that aside, we're not doing it so people tune in. If we were chasing, numbers of people, and you do something on YouTube that got you loads of bloody subscribers or whatever. I've got no interest. In fact, I want it to be small. I want whatever we're doing to be small. I've no interest in it being large. But anyway, that's another. You want to talk about Netflix?
Well, no, I was going to bring up that film that Enter the Stars did a video on first. Which was caught, because it was a film that came out in 2011. Like we're just talking about. I'm not so much obsessed with films anymore, but I do get Empire every month, right? So I do read that. It's just one of them things that, But again, like I said, I see it differently to what I used to do. Now, I can see the bullshit in it as well now, where it used to be just a film magazine. It's not anymore. Even they're still selling the Divock, and they're still. You see them doing film shots. They've all got masks on and stuff. It's bizarre. Yeah. And they talk about, I remember in the middle of all the nonsense, in articles in Empire, they'd say, what have you been doing through a lot, and we were all discussing around it. There were never any question in it. It was all propagandized. So I've got no respect for that magazine, if I'm honest with you. In that sense. But anyway, I still read it. I still flick through it to see what film, even though I don't watch that many films. But Enter the Stars on YouTube did a breakdown. It looks into the SO. I've mentioned it before.
Just let me stop you there, because people ask emails and say, what did he say there at that channel? Right, it's called Enter the Stars, and he's got a few channels actually.
But I've only got one.
Yeah, it's called Enter the Stars Reloaded and all this type of stuff. But Enter the Stars is spelled Enter the and Stars with a Z.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know how long I've been listening
on YouTube.
I found him a long time ago, but he does esoteric breakdowns of films, and some of it's out there. I've mentioned him before, and it's
wacky racist, some of it, but
he's always got a point. Yeah. To be fair,
I agree. Couldn't agree more.
He's quite a religious fella, I think, isn't he? I think he's he talks, but whatever, But he
very interesting though. Very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. And he did one about a film called Perfect Sense. This is the point I'm trying to get to, and it was a film that came out in 2011, which is the same year, if you remember us talking right at the beginning of this, and a lot of other people did. That Contagion came out and Planet of the Apes. You could say they came out the Divock happened 9 years later, 2020. I know it's COVID. I know it's 19, but that's bollocks. And they had to use that number because they wanted to use that number. It came out in 2020. Let's be honest.
Well, again, 23/03/20. We're talking in one of the Uxley things of Twilight language. Yeah. We don't understand this. All these things mean something else to someone.
Well, my point is, these three films that all talked about a contagion, if you like, spreading around the world, they all came out in 2011, 9 years before it happened. So you got your 9/11, where exactly. And for some reason, they needed to be made in 2011. So anyway, this film, Perfect Sense, it's called, and it's got directed by David McKenzie. It's got Eva Green in it, who's pretty famous, and Ewan McGregor, who's very famous. So both of them, and it's described as a science fiction romantic drama film. So you've got these two people in it, and I've never heard of it. I mean, the poster, one of the posters is
I've never heard of it.
I put it on Instagram, and the it's on sheepfarm.co. In Instagram, if you want to have a look. And it's them two wearing a big white mask, as you see. And I've never seen that image before. So where I don't know where it came from. But like I said to you before, some of these films that have got real stuff in them are often quite small or hidden away in the backwaters of Netflix or wherever. Yeah. And, you know, the TV series and stuff, but they've got the real stuff in there. Now, in this film, Ewan McGregor plays a chef, and I think she's some kind of scientist. I've not watched the film. And it's got, like I said, mass in it. And the point is there's like a pandemic where everyone loses their sense of smell. And then everyone loses the sight and sound. But before they do it, they get, for instance, when they lose the I think it's the sound one of them, they get really hungry and they start gorging on food and stuff.
Right.
So it just creates like this global trauma. And it shows riots all over the world and everyone's having the same experience, etc. They're trying to track down it. Everyone's wearing masks and all that. But it's sold as not like Contagion or Planet of the Apes, where you've got the sci-fi, you know, war film, and you've got the this is more of an art house film. It's quite from the trailer. I watched the trailer. It's quite a quiet, slow delivered, arty looking. I think it's in Scotland as well. I think it's in Glasgow.
But when you were saying lose your sense of taste and then they become gluttonous,
they could become gluttonous. Lose your sense of taste. Yeah.
Is this something biblically? Lose your sense of, and then you can't see, so you lose sight. Is it hear no evil, like seeing? Is it something? I mean, I don't know.
What you just said there. Is it that see hear no evil, evil, hear no evil, yeah. Speak no evil?
Because that's what people have done, isn't it? They've become blind and deaf, even though they can still hear and see,
and even they can't hear the. And they know what's happened, and they're not vocalizing it.
Yes,
like we always say, it's just silence about what's happened.
Yeah.
But. That film, I think, in a way, is more interesting than, it's as interesting as Contagion. Right. And it came out in the same year, and I've never heard of it. And I don't know.
No, I've never heard of it. Even all through this, I've never heard of it.
Weird, isn't it? Ewan McGregor's a big guy, a big star, so it's odd that he weren't in it. Anyway, anyway, that just got me thinking. The other day
just one quick one there. We mentioned this before, but I'm not saying it was the same year. But then you've got the Tom Clancy, which the breakdown we did, where he's obviously working for some kind of naval intelligence or that type of thing, the division.
Yeah.
Then you've got the Spider-Man one where they were wearing masks.
2018, all of these, I think they were, weren't they? 2018.
Is that what it, something like that. But all these things are the same as that film you just mentioned and the other two films that we spoke about. Yeah.
Yeah. And that just led me thinking. On Netflix, and I do have Netflix, unfortunately, but whatever. And if I ever really watch it, I was just thinking there's a lot of dystopian future doom and gloom films, right? So, end of the world, alien invasion, and it's it. Anyway, I said this to you even before the Nonsense Fight, if you remember. I was saying I started to notice about 10 years ago in video games and films and stuff like that, they always had that image of grass growing out of the concrete and.
Yeah.
Trees, the division's got that because I've played that game and it's got that dustbin bags piled up and all that stuff, no people around and all that stuff. And I just had just before we came on, I had a quick look through Netflix, right, at how many dystopian future films were on there. Now, I got them all, no way, because I looked for 10 minutes, right, and I counted 31 in about 10 minutes. 24 of them were made between 2017 and 2023. And I reckon I've probably found half of them.
Yeah.
That is a lot of films, isn't it? All with that same everything. And that's not even counting Hunger Games and Terminator.
And if you think, Chris, over the last 10 years, probably not 10 years, but Netflix and all these streaming companies, even Amazon, all these companies that have been funded to succeed even if they didn't make any money, they weren't even on your lips in 2000. So in 2010, you didn't know about Netflix. You didn't know these things didn't even exist. Amazon streaming and all this type of stuff. So look what's happened in a short space of time to get us ready to,
and now
watch all this stuff.
Most people view TV through Netflix or Amazon.
Yes, they don't watch traditional TV anymore, do they? I'm sure most. I mean, I don't watch TV, so
I think some of your older end might, but majority no. But then 30 to 50 films about dystopian futures. Go back to the 80s, right? You had the Terminator and, probably a smattering of other ones. That is a lot of content.
Have you seen some of them Netflix films? I mean, the quality of the screenplay, the script writing, the actual camera work.
Some of it's shy.
Absolutely dreadful. Me and you could act better. You know, you could pick 10 people who've never acted before, give them a month's training, and you'll find better actors than some of them that's on there.
Mm.
It's absolutely dreadful.
But why ramp up on a what I mean is, are they trying to cross a magic spell by making us visualise this dystopian future?
Klaus Schwab, sir. We have to prepare for angry world.
Well,
you know.
No, but I mean, what I mean is, is it predictive programming, right? Or is that what they want to happen? So by putting it into the minds of everyone who's watching Netflix all over the world at the same time, are they putting in this dystopian zombie future that they want to materialize, and they're materializing it through, I suppose, chaos magic to an extent where
everyone's
visualizing it at the same time, and then it will appear? Or is it predictive programming that they know is going to happen? Or is it wishful thinking? I don't know.
Well, everything at the moment, if you feel in from your senses point of view, feels very heavy and dark. Mm. You know, there's a greyness covering everything that everybody does. Everyone's waiting for something to happen. And that's what this last 3 years and these films and these programs and what goes on is doing. Even for us, you know, you're looking at things and thinking, I'm looking at people and they're not quite there.
Mm.
You know, especially the treble tapped. They're not quite there. They're still talking about Formula One, like Lewis Hamilton or whoever is going to save them. I find it odd.
Like we said before, the biggest problem they had during the nonsense was got to get sport back.
Yeah.
Why? Because it keeps you occupied. It stops you thinking about what the
real. But also, if you think about, let's just say you're Jimmy at home who likes to drink a few beers, and likes to go have a few takeaways.
That's me.
Yeah, sorry. Where's a vest? We've got bean and egg stains down it.
No, like beans or eggs.
You don't like it? No, but it looks good, though. Bits of wheat are big stuck to it. No, when you watch a sport, when you're watching that England Rugby Union game or Tyson Fury boxing or something, you're portraying yourself as that person, aren't you?
Mm.
When you see Man United play or a football team, as a kid, you were Man United, weren't you? That's how, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And so going back to what you were saying, the chaos magic, that is what you are. So if you're watching dystopian films over and over and over again, you know, you are going to be
and there's clearly
dystopian
been
thinking.
A massive battering of them. Or just to depress everyone. Even though they think they're being entertained, seeing bin bags and shit everywhere is a depressing thing to
watch. Look what's happening in France where they're not emptying bins.
I mean, I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. Look at 1970s, right? What do you remember? What does anybody remember from 1970s? And if you think about what they told us in lockdown, you know, bin bags, funeral directors going on strike, corpses are going to be stacking up. What were we told about in, you know, they were having these portable morgues and stuff like that never got used. Yeah. Portable morgues, Nightingale hospitals that were never
white
used.
White tents everywhere.
Hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds in this country alone spent and just pissed away down drain, right? When there's people starving and going hungry, homeless, they've got drug problems, alcohol problems. In this country. In our town, in every town in the country. In 2023. And them morons down there in Parliament cannot resolve that. What it did show, it showed that...
Fit for nothing.
Ironically, we're having a conversation today. I won't mention we're having a conversation with, but we're having a conversation today with somebody who woke up during the lockdowns, probably after what I've been talking to him about. But we're having a conversation about politics, and he was saying, yeah, but, you know, these morons that are in now, imagine how bad it'll be if Keir Starmer gets in. But I said, it's not going to change. Oh, no, Labour are worse than Tory. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute. You've just told me they're all lying bastards, right? Yeah. And yet you're saying that Labour are worse lying bastards than Tories. Okay. Haven't you seen what's going on?
Well,
what I'm trying to say is the level of buying all right, this lot made a mistake, but the next lot of Tories won't make a mistake, you know, type of thing.
Well, that's...
And that Blair's lot of Labour were a bag of shit, but this lot of Labour won't be as bad as Blair's lot of Labour. Yeah. And I'm thinking, fucking
hell. Well, that's unfortunately, that is the difference between thinking some of it's bullshit. I know, I mean, it's a coined phrase, but you sitting on the fence, it's not even sitting on the fence, that you've got over the fence, but you're not willing to fucking run any further into the field, are you?
This is like saying, you know, and you don't watch sport, but when, say Man United, right? Mm. Yeah. They say, oh, Man United's got a certain way of playing, and it's in their DNA. Like it's an actual thing, right? Right. And Liverpool has got a way of playing, and you know they've won European Cup more. It's in their DNA, right? All this type of thing. And so what people believe is that Conservatives are for the businessman or the upper middle classes, Labour are for the working man and the lower middle classes. Yeah, there's some businessmen smudged in there. What they don't understand is that it's all part of a plan. What they do is the Conservatives come in, give it all to business people. Labour come in, take it all off them. It's all part of the plan. It's just two different teams playing different ways for the same trophy at the end of it.
And it's become less obvious than it used to be because it just merged into one entity now, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, it always shocks me when you listen to like intelligent, you know, whatever
people
talking about, especially Americans. Disrespect to Americans.
This guy was intelligent. This guy was very intelligent. You know what I mean?
Listen to some American people who put content out and they're talking and then they're making a lot of sense, and then all of a sudden they go, yeah, but if the Democrats, and you're like, what? What the fuck are you on about? You need to leave that alone, man. You need to get away from that.
Yes.
For starters. You need to
the problem is, if nobody voted, right, what would happen? Let's just say nobody voted. It's never going to happen because there's too many NPCs, but if nobody voted, right,
well, they'd make
what
them
would
up.
Happen?
They'd just make them up. Say we won. A majority of 3-2.
House wins. But I don't think they would be able to. If nobody voted, right? No one voted, what would happen? The whole thing would crumble. Or there'd be tanks on the streets. Or something would have to happen, right?
I mean...
Because remember the old argument, if you didn't vote? Well, you've got no say in it then. Well, hang on a minute, right? If 50% of the population don't vote, which is roughly that amount, right? Mm. That don't vote, and only out of them 50%, only 10-15%, out of the 100%, only 10 or 15% actually vote for the winning party. Mm. How does that work? Mm. I'm not voting because they're all lying bastards, and I don't like any of them. I'm not voting.
In the world, I think there should be no parties, and it should be a jury of X amount of people.
Let's not come up with a political structure because it's just a dream,
yeah. You know. That's right. Yeah. Or even we vote with a buzzer from home like we do on
the issue we've got is, right, dancing or something. Human beings, right, and I've seen this in business and I've been in quite big business meetings. Human beings are too easily bribed. That's the problem. And when they're nudged, for argument's sake, right, you're in a company and you've got a promotion. You're going to prove yourself in that promotion. You might be in army proving yourself in promotion and you're working for SS. You might be working for Asda and you've got a promotion and you're proving yourself to your general manager. It's irrelevant. You're going to prove yourself. Now, some people handle it well, and as we know, some people don't. Mm. They're too easily bribed, right, by status and finances. Mm. And the politicians are the same. They might get into it with right intentions, but somewhere down the track, they're going to get bribed. They're going to get asked. They're going to get, oh, if you just do this for me, blah, blah, blah. All right, how much do you want? Oh, it doesn't matter because I agree with you. All right, so they vote for it in Parliament. Then it's, well, can you just do this as well? And there's an holiday here. And two, three, four, 5 years later, it's too late. They can't get out of it anymore. So even if they want it to stop, they can't.
But this is why the backbone of the system has to be fucking evil or satanic or something, because most human beings from the beginning would want the best for other human beings. They can still have a bit of status if they want. It's run on that core, like you said. It's run.
Well, ironically, Chris, I'm going to call this episode Making Monsters.
Right.
Right. And one of the stories further down includes Tony Blair. And what you've just said there is right, because the elements, as we're finding with this Brave New World stuff, that we're doing, yeah? When you look, this satanic bloodline, if you were going to invent a system, right, that wanted to help people, you could easily do it.
Yeah, yeah. There should be no homeless people. Free healthcare.
NHS should be using natural products as well as pharmaceuticals because they work. Yeah. Not because somebody makes billions out of them, but because they work.
Or the choice should be there.
Whether it's choice or even if a doctor were trained to give ozone, for argument's sake, and they saw the results, they'd start using ozone, right? Because we see it every day. You know what I mean? However, they're not. They're trained to say it's a poison or a toxin, and you can't use it. So they're not interested in helping people. But anyway, it could be resolved very easily. So instead of what they say, the NHS is too big. It's just got too big for itself. You know, it's... No, hang on a minute. Do you say that about fucking Nike?
Or Coca-Cola.
It's just too big, Coca-Cola. Can't produce cans right anymore, cans of pop anymore. It's just bollocks, isn't it?
Also, bullshit. If you're looking at the system, you have to look why these conversations don't happen on the telebox. Why the BB... They'll tell you someone's been stabbed in the face.
Well, it doesn't happen in question time.
Why are they not going... But there is alternatives to this. You know, can we not look at this or can we not discuss this? Well, I mean, it's obvious what's going on at the minute, but...
Well, no, the BBC come up with that ginger-haired bird. What's she called? Mariana Spring.
Spring
that's
trap.
Now... Yeah, the Spring Trap. But if you were going to invent a satanic system that screwed everybody over, this would be it.
Yeah.
This would be it. I got a parking ticket the other day. Everyone gets parking tickets, right? It wasn't even because I'd parked over the time. It said I'd parked over the lines. But what happened is, and this is how the system works. It's not me moaning about it, although it is a moan, but it's not a moan. There were cars parked in shit places, and I had to get into that place. Yeah, and there were only one parking. So when them cars go, my car looked like I'd parked it. It wasn't even that bad. You know, it's not even that bad, right? This is the system, though. It's there to fuck you about. And it's there to do, that's just one little thing in these millions of things that's
just
to fuck you about.
Younger. Yeah.
Yes, and that instead of catching you in, this is the council that you pay your council tax to, business rates, and all the other shite we have to go through, and they give you a ticket in your town. How does that work? How does that work if it's not satanic? Well, look, it has to be satanic and dark occult, because if you were a dark occultist. And everyone says, oh, they're very clever, these people. They're not that clever. They're like children.
Well, look at the, what is it?
That's what children do. They're narcissistic. That's what they do.
Out for themselves until they get taught morals and...
By the dark occultists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's your morals, kids.
But if you think about the nonsense Rusty Tank War, we need these jets and rusty tanks to go and fight over it. I don't want my fucking tax money to be used to fight anybody or kill anybody. I don't care. You can say it or unpatriotic. I don't care. If Russians came here out fight and drove down these streets in tanks, right? Are they any worse than the people that are already told you can't leave your house?
No.
I won't be worse. Fighting them. I'd just put my hands up and say, whatever, what's next?
Well, you never know. You might be fighting. Yeah. Who knows what you'll be doing, right? However, at least you'd have a better chance than these satanic bastards.
But what I mean is, I wouldn't get into a fight, you know, because I'm being told by the telebox to get into a fight, or by Boris Blanchard, or Tony B. Liar, or any of these fucking psychos. I would not do anything for them. I'd do anything to defend my family, but I wouldn't be. I just wouldn't. I'd be. What is it? Like I was saying in the First World War. What was it? Conscientious objector.
What did Johnson say when he was being questioned? Hand on my heart. I'm telling the truth. Hand on my heart, I'm telling the truth. So what the fuck were he saying there to somebody?
Hand on my heart, I won't crack.
Whatever.
Tell the truth.
Yeah. Hand on my heart, I'm telling the truth, you know? And these people will just lie and lie and lie, and yet that person we spoke to knows the liars, born liars, all of them, will still say, yeah, but Labour are worse. And I'm sure, right, our granddad would say, yeah, but Tories are worse, right, if we were still alive.
Et cetera.
I've got another mate, clever guy, he's got a good business. He's a Labour member, and he said, I can't wait for them to get in. They're going to do a miles better job than these idiots.
Well, like you said earlier,
these idiots are nearly close your business down.
Yeah. They appease people in certain little ways. I suppose that's what keeps it running, isn't it? But then
it's a game, man. It's a game.
Yeah.
And I think all this entertainment.
No, but people died for your vote, Fatty. You're not voting, you fucking bastard.
I thought they died for freedom.
Yeah. Died for loads of stuff. Definitely not for
I thought you told me they died for freedom, so you've got a freedom of choice. Well, my freedom of choice is I ain't voting for wankers.
Yeah. I voted once in the last 20 years. That was for Brexit. Not because I didn't think it'd do anything, but just so I could annoy people because everyone got a vote. So I voted out. Right. And it was just to annoy everyone. Well, annoy people and just tell them I voted out.
What did I say when you voted?
Well, to be fair, Fatty, it's because I was driving past it on my way to work and I thought, fuck it, I'm just going to
I've never even been into a voting thing.
Well, first time I've done it in ever, actually. I think I did it once. The first year I could vote, I did, because my dad told me to. And then that's
I won't sign into these contracts with these bastards.
Yeah. Reason I voted out, because Tony B. Lai were telling me to vote in. And
You don't like him, do you?
Numerous other people I think are scumbags.
Should we move on?
Look, look at the humans, right, that have run this country for the last... Boris Blonson and Ratboy Sunak, right? Would you... And then you've got the Wancocks and the Whitties and the Vance... These characters. Would you ask... I know I always say this, but would you entertain a conversation with one of them human beings? But yet, you know... Like I said earlier on,
Cameron as well. You know, all these people.
These chinless twats. I would have been dragged out of my house by what hair I've got left.
Adidas three strands. Yeah.
I mean, Adidas three strands and forced to have that jab, that jibber jab. Whereas other people have queued up and had it. And then you think about your circle of people you know. And they would, so they trust Boris Blonson and B. Liar and all these characters over someone the friends who they've known for their entire life.
Yeah.
And not even ask you, why though? You know, why would your driver get dragged out of your house by three strands?
Yeah, yeah. I remember saying to my neighbour back in 2020, one of the neighbours, he didn't talk to me now.
you say that quite a lot.
Yeah, I know.
As he walked backwards into his house.
Yeah, I didn't argue with a guy. I didn't, you know, there's no... I tell you what it was, right? Used to send emails out. I had quite a large email base. I used to send emails out like I'd wrote, you know, stories. And people were interested in them. And then when this happened, I was sending out the recon, you know, COVID. And I remember calling it COVID in 2020. And my neighbour, a couple of them actually, not just neighbours, but people I knew, asked me not to send them emails about COVID. They could send anything else.
Right.
But not about COVID.
Not the most important thing that's happening right this moment.
No, not the most important thing that's destroying the lives. Yeah. While government are paying you to get pissed in your garden. anyway, we're out for a walk with Nick. A quiet walk with wife.
I just love that.
He were walking towards me. Bear in mind, this is March. You're allowed out for an hour for a walk.
Mm.
Yeah? So he were walking towards me, and I went, Barry, and went to give him a hug, you know, because you were social distancing.
Jumped under a bus.
Fucking hell, he lost his spleen.
Did you get angry?
Yeah. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed. I got quite calm, actually, right?
Yeah. Actually.
What's wrong with you? Yeah. So what's wrong with you?
What's wrong, Barry? Calm down.
You're not believing all this nonsense, are you? And he went, your friend is in an isolation ward. I'll tell you in a sec. I won't mention names. Your friend is in isolation, or your friend's father's in an isolation ward. He's nearly dying because he's got COVID, blah, blah. I said, has he had a test? Well, I don't know, do I? Bear in mind, this one, March, right? April, yeah.
Is that before mass testing?
Blah, 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 blah. Well, my mate's dad, right, is knocking on. He was our mum's age, right? Mm. Well, however old she'd be now, in the late 70s. I said, well, he has been ill quite a while, you know, for a while. That's not the point. They put him in an isolation ward. I said, but he's had pneumonia three times.
But that's what they were doing, isn't it? Putting people in those wards.
He said, I'm not interested in what you've... I said, well, don't you just want to talk about it? I've known you years, man. I don't want to upset you. I don't want to hear anything you've got to say. All I know is he's in isolation. I said, but have you looked into what they're doing, how they're doing the tests? You know, all this yada, yada, yada.
All his theories are based on emotion. There's no logic
every single one. Anyway, I haven't spoke to him since.
But all these, but that's how they get you with emotion. But that's what they were doing, putting people in isolation one and ramming a tube down the throat and saying,
yes,
and killing them, basically.
Yeah. I mean, he survived, fortunately for him, but but he'd had pneumonia two or three times before. I know a guy who were in Halifax in an isolation. Well, he were in the intensive care ward before all this kicked off, diagnosed with pneumonia, right? When this kicked off, they said, oh, we think you've got DIVOC. So we're putting a tent around you and everything. And right. So there were a lot of that going on, weren't there? But anyway, yeah.
They were scaring the nurses and stuff to death just as much as anyone else.
Everybody. But anyway, let's move on. So we'll have I'll mention this comment, actually. Quite an interesting comment. Have you got else to say?
The film thing.
So this was from someone. Now this is 3 years on. This is what we're seeing. My neighbour is on a dialysis 3 times a week after the 5th rooster booster.
Right.
He developed clots in his legs and has been quite poorly. He is improving slightly on warfarin, which is a blood thinner. But as we know, these clots can't be relieved, released, broken down, etc., etc. That's what we're seeing. I can't tell him that. I warned him in the beginning and he didn't believe me. And she was asking whether ozone had helped. Well, he can't have it because he's on warfarin.
I wonder what his opinion now is of the Spears, then, the guy.
Well, she's not saying that he's changed his mind. I just found it an interesting email. That is what we're seeing in the news. That's what we're seeing around us. Would these people have been ill? Well, the thing is, we don't know because they've had 5 roosters now, you know.
But bless that woman. I mean, like she said, she didn't... this is where the...
But this is a similar conversation to where I am my neighbour, if you like. All right, I went to hug him and...
wind him up.
Yeah. Well, no, I wanted to wind him up. It was just I thought he were a bit of a rebel, Chris.
Right, hug him all the time, do you? Do you hug him often?
No, never hug him once.
You tried to hug him to wind him up. No, you did.
Anyway, don't talk to me anymore.
If you were on hugging, like hugging level where you hugged him every time you saw him, I'd understand, but I know you were trying to wind him up.
Not me, Chris.
What's nice about that story, that woman, even though she said she told him, she's asking you if you can help him.
So she's put herself out there.
Yeah.
She's probably got a lot of grief.
A lot of grief for it.
I'm reading between the lines.
Yeah, yeah, that's
she's
what I'm trying to say.
She's still trying to help the guy. She's still trying to help the guy.
That's where humanity will shine through, where it always does.
Always does. And that was the nice part about that, where no matter what this guy... Maybe they haven't fallen out, or maybe he's told that she mind her own business. She's still asking if she can, if there's anything that can be done for him. And that's what we're like. We're like that, you know? People I know, people you know, who are into this stuff, we're like that. That's what,
here for. You come across like more hardcore than me, but you're the one with the fucking clinic helping folks, not me.
I know. We put yourself out there. But people, also, the emails we get on the other side, from the clinic side, you can imagine what they are. I mean, you get some on sheep farm, but imagine what we get on the clinic side. Can you help this person? They've been spasmoded with a jib jab.
How weird. You just set that clinic up before this happened.
I know. Strange, isn't it?
You're freebasing.
Yeah. Apparently, sometimes we are.
I'm just looking at all those red hoods you've got hung up in the back of your bunker.
Yeah, yeah, back of wardrobe, interestingly, somebody mentioned at that talk that Virgin, she had a mate who works at Virgin Airlines.
Right.
Who said that they only want one jabbed pilot on now. So there's got to be one unjabbed and one jabbed.
Right.
That's good news.
I'm flying fucking Virgin because I hate flying and I'm planning a holiday. Yeah,
but then now they can go into America as well. So even though America's still locked down, they're allowing pilots in. It's something to do with, can remember it during the start of all this nonsense when sports people, or if you were going there for work, you could go.
Yeah.
Before the rule jab out. But on April 3rd, they're going to start, this lady wrote this, on April 3rd, the bastards are going back into care homes, etc., to distribute the final blow to whoever survived the last lot. I think there's been 8, you know, Chris.
Has it?
They've roosted eight roosters, and with flue taps and whatever else, shingles and all the other stuff that they give them. Well, God knows what happens in these nursing homes and mental institutes that are forced to have these things.
Yeah,
it's... well, anyway, just no words sometimes.
Without being funny, and I know this is a very obvious thing to say, it just makes you wonder, in 20 years, are we going to be discussing this? Is it going to be...
Yeah,
we will. But what I mean is it
unless they put us in one of them fucking places and jabbed us to death.
Yeah. Is it going to be what I mean is it going to be that why did people just let that happen? I can't believe that.
Yeah. I can't believe that.
That'd get used, wouldn't it? Like it did of course it would. Nazi Germany. It got used. That thing got used against the people. Yeah. I mean, you know, what and is it the same thing?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've noticed on a few channels, I know Rise Above and What the Flock TV, they've been getting it by people. This is the other side now, 3 years on. So you've got people like us who started a podcast up. They've got Amish, Rise Above, What the Flock TV, a few other people that are sort of new. We're not like Mark Devlin and Richard Dehall and people like that who've been around a long time, UK column. But you got people who... Normally, 99% of them offer something good. And I noticed in the chat that we did with Jerry the other day, that was a fun... We haven't talked about that, actually. That was a great chat, that. And I hope everybody enjoyed that, because I know I did. We thought by putting them two together, there would be some synergy there.
Yeah.
And I know Mark really enjoyed
that. Well, we got that. Quite a few comments saying it was the best one we'd ever done.
Yeah, I thought it was it was up there anyway. From a chat point of view, an interview, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. And different things hit different people, but that's fine. Yeah. The Jerry stuff always really resonates with a very, I don't know how to say, very big pocket of people.
Yeah.
And you get different kinds of comments as well.
Yeah.
And then I think throwing Mark into the mix just added a totally new element.
Well, it's what Mark talks about. And, you know, this is right up his street. Anyway, what I was saying was that those channels, they've been getting people coming on. And I noticed somebody in that chat when we were doing it.
Probably it was two. Someone Instagrammed a message, mate. Right, Boho listens to us, and she said there was two or three. And I couldn't read the message because it was so fast.
It's going too fast, when you're doing that.
But,
show.
She said there was two. I think two or three in there that
I deleted really, one of them. Really, I found. I didn't know how to do it until I found it on there and just deleted them. And people. I mean, me. I'm a bit different from you. Because I suppose I was involved in business, and if it's not going, just stop it, end it, move on. And
it's so a little bit more reactionary than me, fine.
No, I don't think it's reaction rate. It's not a reaction as in, ugh, they're annoying me, I'm angry. It's more, why am I putting up with that, delete? You know, I don't react to it. Anyway, I noticed What the Flock put a video out saying, you know, it's his channel. If he don't want you on it, you won't come into his house and cause trouble, he'd throw you out type of thing. So it's not a bad way of looking at it.
It is.
I know Rise Above have had their share.
My point is why would you continue to watch it?
Why would you waste your time? I don't understand it. I don't watch BBC because it's shite. So
I don't walk in and put EastEnders on and then get angry and turn it off and write a letter to BBC saying EastEnders is shit. Just don't watch it.
No.
It's like me going to watch a football match and complaining it's boring.
Yeah. I think they should change name. Double Enders. but yeah, it is. It is. I don't understand it. I don't understand some of these people.
I think it's the Twitter generation, isn't it? It's the world we're in now where, you know, and you know, even in the restaurant world, in the, what do you call it? What's the fucking food one called? I forgot what it's called now. You know, where you can go for a meal and report that.
Oh, TripAdvisor.
TripAdvisor, that's what I'm trying to say. It's a TripAdvisor Twitter world where you can react.
Yeah.
Just so you can be sat in a restaurant, not complain about anything, wait till you get home, just write a nice little comfortable... Slag
shite.
Off.
Shite.
Yeah, that was shite. That were an in joke, that, because I came on earlier when we started this and Dom, I just said, all right, Spook, and he went, your mic sounds shite. I'm like, what fucking kind of a low is that? You know, and he went, oh, you've been fucking arty-farty. Sorry, your mic's not working.
Yeah.
But it's just a reaction. It's just the way you can deal with complaining from your armchair. Because most people who own a restaurant or a chef or whatever would say, why didn't you say something when you were there? We could have sorted it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could have sorted it out.
No, I'm going to wait till I get home, sit on my fat ass, and then go, that was shit, that. And wait, it's horrible and rude to me.
Yeah. It wasn't really that crap, but I thought it was. But yeah, it is. But also people joining in these chat rooms just to come in to take the piss out, to have a laugh, which is fair enough. Mm. But you know, we don't have to have you in. You know what I mean?
But me personally, I wouldn't waste my time. I wouldn't tune into something.
But the sad thing is, these people think they're on the same side. Mm. And I don't understand it, because you know, if you're open to having a if you're working for the enemy, for argument's sake, yeah, you can understand it. But these people think they're on the same side. Mm. They know more. I don't think I know anything. No. I'm willing to learn new stuff. That's why I went to see Mark. I still go watch these people because I want to learn something new, you know? Because I know these people research stuff. They don't say it easily. And so, go on, sorry.
No, we're going to say the ones who slag off as well and complain, they always send the lengthiest ones as well, which you find odd, you know? And it's the same in the restaurant world. They're the ones, the negative. And also, if you have 10 reviews or 100 reviews or whatever, and two are negative. Yeah. People, and this is in the restaurant world, they talk about the negative ones, which I've always found fascinating. It's interesting on a psychological level.
That's where I find it interesting.
They will discuss the two negative ones forever. Forget all the 100 positive ones. Let's talk about them two over and over and over again. Because I always just said we need to put this into put it into context. You can't just go on about them all the time. Yeah.
No.
I'll give you an example. Yeah. When I worked in a restaurant, the manager I had there came in and goes, "Chris, we need to change the chips. We need to change the potato supplier. Why? Because everyone's complaining about chips. Right, we sell about 300 a weekend. How many chips we sold? How many people have complained? Loads. How many is loads?" This is the thing they don't expect you to do, is to continue to ask them. Yeah. Not like me and you would question everything. How many have we sold? How many have complained? Loads. How many? Oh, quite a few. No, but how many? Two. So you want me to change my fucking potato supplier because two people have complained? Get a grip.
Get out before I put your hands in the fryer.
I know it's a simplistic way of looking at it, but it is.
We'll have 10 new chips.
That is what it is. No, but that's how people work, isn't it? They want to focus on that drama and that negative.
Yeah.
And you just have to walk away from it.
But like you say, some people just want to go handing out those negative energy cards, if you like, to people.
Bother us.
Bothering everybody. Yeah, here's mine, you know. Yeah. It's like one guy put, listened to a good interview recently with Lee Adsell, meaning Master Lee, we had a conversation with, from Inner Gardens. But to listen to the second hour, you had to pay and subscribe to their bullshit platform. Traitors. Right. And, do you know, I won't go to include this, but I find it quite funny. It is a funny comment, right? Who are traitors against you? Or him. I mean, it's like, right, saying, oh, Man United, they're a bullshit team. They won't allow me into the stadium for free.
Yeah.
Or, it's their stadium. Yeah, but they should allow you in for free.
Traitors.
And I can't get my head around the mentality, but there you go, keyboard warriors and all that. But
also, when they're slagging off who you're listening to and what you're doing, I've said to you for years.
It wasn't even slagging him off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's lagging us off, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah.
But as we develop, things get expensive, don't they?
Well, I'm not even interested in that part, right? When you set something up, that's how he set it up. When I went to watch Mark the other day, we're £3 in. I paid me £3 and went to watch him. Mm. I didn't say, we're a bullshit platform, you know what I mean?
Traitor.
Traitor, you know. Selling your books, Mark, you traitor.
I'm going to stand out in car park, you traitor.
Yeah. Is that what he says when he goes to Waterstones to buy a book from somebody, you know, John Amer's book? Bloody traitor, spending a tenner on that book, or traitor. You
just paid in to watch Avatar, you fucking traitor. So he's basically pissed off because we were enjoying it, and we put the... I mean, it's £2 a month. The reason we put it...
Anyway, I'm not even getting into that. Yeah. I listen to Crow, and I subscribe to Crow. You listen to a couple of us, you subscribe.
I subscribe.
We all subscribe because I like listening to them, right?
Well, my
listen
way...
to every one of them? Do I listen to every one of them? No. Do I like every one of them? No, some of them I listen to and think, I'm not into that. But I don't ring them up and say, traitor. You know what I mean?
Why are you talking about what I want to talk about, you bastards?
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's true.
It's just... an odd state. Maybe that too much fluoride that day. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I subscribe to a few, and if I didn't listen to any of them, I wouldn't subscribe to them. Fair enough. But if I listen to most of the stuff, I think it's only fair that I should, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up. It's quite interesting. I know we're coming to end of the hour now. So we'd like to thank you for joining us at this Mint Sauce Chronicle.
Is that hour up?
Hour's up already.
Could have been any screechy.
The hour is up already. Yeah, you went a bit screechy there, a bit high-pitched. Didn't go anyway, camp this time. High-pitched.
High-pitched camp. Anyway, I'd like to thank... for the bottle of bread and
I'd like to thank, who is it for that bottle of red wine?
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, cause, no, because he had a pseudonym on his email and I couldn't remember what it was.
Well, he didn't send his name?
I can't remember.
Traitor.
Thanks for the bottle of bread and butter anyway. And I'll email him.
They're all traitors. Sure
yeah. Everyone's a traitor who listens to this, you bastards.
We're all traitors. Interesting. But so thanks for joining us. If you want to join us on our bullshit platform and part for part two, you're very welcome. If not, we'll see you next time. Bye.